Babe.
What's up?
You know, now that the pandemic started, I've really just been trying to catch up on my reading.
Do you have like a book list?
I've started on one. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay. First, Love in the Time of Corona.
Classic.
100 Years of Self-Isolation. The Fault in Our SARS-CoV-2. World War C.
Chill.
Don Quarantine.
That's a good one. I have some suggestions.
Oh, yeah. What are they?
Okay. Jane Airborne Diseases. Harry Potter and the Deathly Handshake.
Okay.
Twilight Breaking Quarantine.
I heard that's terrible.
Yeah, it is. And The Man in the N95 Mask.
Wow, great addition. Should we just start this episode?
Yeah, let's just go to it.
Okay. Hi, we're Leah and Jeremy.
We're the accident-prone travelers behind Practical Wanderlust.
And we're here to dish out travel tips, travel tricks,
useful trivia, useless trivia,
mildly entertaining anecdotes,
and everything else you need to avoid making all of our terrible mistakes.
And we make a lot of mistakes. Oh, hey.
Hey, guys. It's been a minute.
It's been a few minutes.
Yeah. Sorry about taking a month off. It was not intentional. It's just that the entire world started to experience apocalypse.
Look, if The Walking Dead can take a mid-season break, then we can too.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did. It was totally premeditated, and it wasn't because we spent the last 3 weeks crying in our house.
It's been less of crying and more just like existential dread and screaming into the void.
That's you. I cried. I let it out. You know, it's not healthy to keep all that bottled up.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, so we've been quarantining. Our stay-at-home shelter-in-place order was the first in the nation because we're number one. Go California.
California.
Jeremy's school shut down for the rest of the year, which sucks because he teaches 12th grade and he didn't get to say goodbye to any of his students.
Yeah, it's been rough dealing with that and trying to navigate what the rest of the school year looks like because we're still teaching, but, you know, it's a whole thing.
And I've been furiously creating virtual travel experiences. If you go to the site, at any time during the pandemic, if it's not the pandemic anymore, probably this won't still be there. But I have a virtual travel section on the blog right now. And that's been a good distraction from the fact that absolutely nobody is looking at travel content right now. So that's been fun.
And if you are listening to this and it's not a pandemic and the apocalypse, what's it like? What are you doing?
How's the future?
Are places okay?
We miss places.
We really miss places.
Speaking of places, today we are, unlike our actual selves, venturing outside of our house across the entire ocean and going to Asia.
Specifically, we are talking about Bali.
Bali is one of those destinations that I feel like Instagram was just created for and possibly in. Everything is just like lush green, hypnotizing, and just extremely photographable, photogenic.
You want to take that again?
I got there. No, we're good.
Hashtag no filter needed.
And let's talk about that because Bali really is like all over Instagram. And I was worried that it was just an Instagram destination.
I mean, we're not here to poke fun or condemn people who are all about the gram.
Although I did used to hate on that. Like I used to be like, oh my God, you're not even enjoying this place. You like went all the way over here and you're just taking pictures. But now that I spend most of my time taking pictures places, I can realize that they are enjoying it. They're just not necessarily enjoying it in the exact same way that I might enjoy it or you might enjoy it. But that's okay. We don't have to like cut people down some, you know, the way that they enjoy things just because it's different than the way that we enjoy things.
That reminds me of a meme I saw that said something like, making fun of people taking pictures doesn't make you interesting or unique.
That's a good one. Do you have that on a quote on a pillow on our bed or something? Would you like to print it out next to the Live, Laugh, Love canvas from Marshalls that you got?
I'm just going to embroider it into Mulan's dog bed.
Oh, yeah. We have a puppy. Did we talk about that?
We talked about that last time.
Okay. Anyway, she's really cute. She continues to be cute. Go follow her on Instagram at Mulan the Floof.
I will say our one gripe with Instagram tourism is when it steps into like unethical territory.
Yeah, like when you have like the, you know, blonde white chick that's posing with a bunch of locals and she's like, it's because I'm here that they're smiling. That's why they're all happy. I brought them that joy. Looking at you, Maddie from The Bachelor.
Also talking about like trespassing or going where you shouldn't and then geotagging it so a bunch of people follow.
Yeah, that's shitty Instagram tourism. Don't do that, but it's okay to like take a picture and enjoy it. We're getting on a soapbox. Moving on from the soapbox. Let's zoom out a bit and just talk about Bali.
Before we really got into talking about going, I didn't really know anything about Bali. I just thought that it was its own country. I had no clue where it was.
And hopefully you now know this, but Bali is not a country. It is a island in the country of Indonesia.
Indonesia is an archipelago, which is my favorite word, of about 18,000 islands.
I feel like you used to pronounce it archipelago.
I did, because it was one of those words that I only saw written until I was like, oh, I've been saying that wrong the whole time. Anyway, can we get back to that?
I realized this when we were planning a trip to Bali, but he didn't know what that word was.
Okay, but 18,000 islands.
That is a lot of islands. There's no way that that's right. Is that really right?
There's some debate, but it's believed to be between either 17,508 or 18,307.
Did you Wikipedia that?
Maybe.
Good research.
Bali is just one of those islands, and it's not even really a big one.
No, it's kind of small, but most of Indonesia's islands are small.
Looking at a map of Indonesia, there's like a swoop of islands on the southwest side. Bali is about a third from the right of that.
How is that like helpful? We're a podcast.
I think in maps.
Why are you like this?
Anyway, Bali is a big destination for Australians, actually, because it's a relatively quick flight.
Yeah, you can get there from Sydney in like 6 hours. Like, we kept hearing people refer to it as like Cancun, but for Australia. Which is kind of badass, honestly.
P. Sherman probably goes there a lot.
Who?
P. Sherman, 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney.
Babe, Disney was last episode. I know that was a while ago, but...
Are you saying I should just let it go?
Oh my God, are you done?
Yes. So when we chose Bali, we were truly going into the unknown.
God damn it. I'm stuck with this for months. Just this. Nothing else.
Should we address money? Because Bali's supposed to be super expensive, right?
That's a really good question that you definitely don't already know the answer to. But Bali is actually more affordable than you think.
Wow, who knew?
We did, because we have an entire post on how to plan a trip to Bali on a budget.
Practicalwatchlist.com. I
couldn't even get it out without laughing. Anyway, it's on our site. Or just Google Bali on a budget. Moving on. So as we go through this episode, we're going to sprinkle in some money-saving tips.
Or monkey-saving tips. Like, don't. Touch them.
That's not a tip. That's just common sense.
We did scientific research and found there are approximately 1 million monkeys per capita in Bali.
That's very scientific.
These monkeys are cute AF, but stay the hell away from them.
Seriously. I mean, you should always stay as far away as you can from wild animal. And I'm directing that specifically at Joe Exotic and the creepy sex cult guy. But these guys will actually just approach you.
Are you still talking about Joe Exotic and Doc Antle?
God, I hope not. But yes. No, we're talking about the monkeys in Bali.
Look at me. I'm a cute little monkey friend. See how soft and furry I am?
Bam, stole your purse.
Yeah, we actually saw that happen. Like, this girl was just minding her own business, crossing a street, and a monkey jumped on her and just, like, ripped her purse off of her and then ran away laughing.
I, like, really felt for her, but at the same time, I was like, well, sometimes it bees like that.
Well, okay. You would not have felt that way if a monkey grabbed your fucking glasses. Because that's what I was worried about.
Monkeys got to eat, you know?
What are they going to eat in a purse in Bali? A Polaroid camera?
Maybe.
A phone?
Speaking of monkeys, one of the most popular destinations on the island is Ubud. And that's home to a huge monkey forest and sanctuary.
I think you mean crime forest and theft sanctuary.
Yes, there is a lot of theft there because monkeys are drawn to anything that glimmers.
Which includes like sunglasses, water bottles, jewelry, phones, your glasses, literally anything.
Yeah, also any food is definitely going to get snatched.
Especially bananas.
Wow, that's offensive to monkeys.
Speaking of Ubud, I know we said Bali was overall fairly affordable, but Ubud would be the exception.
Yeah, no, it's probably the most expensive place.
Yeah, it's like kind of a step below Europe on like the extremely expensive scale.
It's expensive because it's a digital nomad hotspot. If you think the Bali of Instagram fame, you are likely thinking of Ubud.
Yeah, like we were buying meals that were as expensive as they were in San Francisco, which made me very upset.
Price tag notwithstanding, Ubud was by far our favorite stop in Bali.
Oh, totally. Luckily, we do have some tips to help offset the cost.
Like what?
First, eat like a local. There are plenty of places that want to cater to Western appetites where you can get like avocado toast, which we did once and then we felt like idiots. But the cheapest eats are definitely at the markets. So hit up morning and night markets for local delicacies. And also in the Warungs. A Warung is a local restaurant, and they are pretty much always cheaper than Western places.
Another thing, book hotels in advance. Avoid that backpacker move of just going where the wind takes you and lock your price down early.
You can find some really good deals, actually, if you're looking far enough in advance, especially during the off season.
And while you're booking early, we definitely recommend getting travel insurance.
They definitely saved our lives. Like, I want to say literally, but it wasn't literally, it was figuratively, but they were very helpful.
something we found out that was pretty interesting was, much like in Colombia, people are always willing to take you wherever for the right price.
Totally. It felt like every other person, like, walking down the street would be like, where are you going? I have a car. I have a scooter. I have a motorbike. I have a bicycle, whatever. Everybody wanted to take you somewhere.
It was really convenient because there's so much to see on the island and public transit's just not a thing there.
But the best way to cut costs if you're trying to go, like, on a day trip all the way across the island is to travel with a group.
We were lucky enough to run into two of our friends and we hired a car for the whole day.
That's such a douchey travel blogger thing. Like, oh, we ran into some friends in Bali. Like, that only happens if you're, I don't know, famous or a celebrity or you happen to be a travel blogger. But yes, that actually is what happened.
The driver even had a lot of advice on the places to eat and shop.
And they charge the same price regardless of how many people you're bringing. So if you do meet some other travelers in, like, a coffee shop or a hostel or on Instagram, make a whole day out of it.
If you're just seeing things like around town, the towns are pretty small, so walking around is a perfectly viable option.
But our favorite method of transportation is definitely via scooter.
Yes, you can rent a scooter for a full day for a little more than a single cab ride.
And I mean, I say scooter, it felt more like a motorcycle.
It was a scooter, honey.
Okay, well, it felt like a anyway, whatever. It was kind of scary. Most of the locals use scooters too, so the infrastructure is definitely there. Just kind of follow everyone else's lead, but definitely always have to drive on the left. Even if you see other scooters not driving on the left or weaving in and out of traffic, you shouldn't do that. You should just drive on the left and just be safe.
Yeah, we definitely saw some people just sort of steer into the side of the road because they were like, oh shit, forgot left side of the road.
Yeah, road rules are not always followed. Another important piece of advice, don't crash your scooter in a monkey forest.
Are you serious?
Would you like to tell that story?
You go ahead.
Okay. On our first day, Jeremy rented a scooter and he crashed it in a monkey forest.
Wait. That's awful. Where's the buildup? Where's the drama? Where's the pathos?
You are so dramatic. Okay. You tell the story.
'Twas a humid day within the jungles of Ubud.
Oh my God.
Fine. Whatever. We were staying in an Airbnb on the outskirts of Ubud. Between our room and the town was the monkey forest. A lot of people live on that side, so they put this walkway of sorts to sort of cut the distance.
Like, kind of through the monkey forest, but on the side.
It's like around the monkey forest. People also took scooters on the walkway. The thing is, these people are usually locals who are used to riding on a narrow path. I, however, am not a Balinese local. Rather, I was closer to an anxious ginger lemur who was just learning what balance is.
Is it just me, or does ginger lemur sound like a drink you could order, like, at a fancy bar?
It will be when I open a bar. Anyway, at one point, the path goes sharply downhill and then right back up. But as it goes up, it hooks to the left.
What did you do?
We were going home one night and I slowed down on the uphill. So our 400 plus pounds of scared white cargo tips our scooter over off of the path down into the side of the hill.
I love that you kind of made us sound like a great white shark. But also, you forgot the most important thing, which is that your scooter crashed into a tree.
Excuse me, my foot was wedged between the scooter and the tree. So if anything, the scooter crashed into my foot.
Ooh, that actually sounds really painful.
It was.
So we're, like, precariously balanced between relative safety on the path and just, like, tumbling off into a forest full of vicious monkey thieves.
And how did Leah react to this situation, you might ask? Well, let me reenact it.
You just woke our dog up. No, that is pretty accurate. But then I realized, like, oh, holy shit, I'm about to wake up all these vicious, evil monkeys, and then they're going to come after us and steal everything that we love. So I kind of just, like, whisper yelled at Jeremy for almost killing us.
Which is very confusing, by the way.
Well, if you wouldn't have run our fucking scooter into a fucking tree, you wouldn't have to deal with this right now. That was what it was like. And then I left in a huff and walked back to our Airbnb and left you with the scooter.
Well, I limped it back. My leg was actually really messed up. But you were mad at me, so I didn't really want to bring it up.
So you might be asking, why not just rent a car?
To answer that question, I will request that you play Mario Kart using only your palms, blindfolded, on 250cc on Rainbow Road.
Yeah, that's basically what driving in Bali is like.
The other thing about driving there or navigating in general is just forget about Google or Waze. We consistently looked at them to see how long our trip was going to take, and they were wrong 100% of the time.
100%. Seriously.
And it's not like it said 15 minutes, but it took 20. It's more like it said 15 minutes, but it took 3 hours.
Yeah. So just forget about that. If you have a lot of ground to cover, just assume it's going to take your entire day.
Okay. So let's say you get there. You're in Bali. You mm-hmm. have your scooter. Mm-hmm. You have your belongings secure.
Mm-hmm. No monkeys.
No monkeys. What should they do? Like, where do they get their taste of culture?
I mean, it's seriously everywhere. And, like, I'm not putting that lightly. Like, 90% of the island is Balinese Hindu. And a common practice is to build your own temple for your family and household. So walking down the street, it looks like everything is a temple.
And some people go all out for it in terms of scale and spectacle. We took a cooking class at somebody's house. And while we were there, she had workers putting gold leaf on the roof.
I want MTV Cribs to do a spinoff for Hindu temples.
It's also common practice to give a daily offering. So when you walk the streets in the morning, you'll see tiny baskets called chinang sari, and they're always filled with colorful flowers, rice, nuts, and money, and usually a stick of incense.
Each piece of the chinang sari represents something in Balinese Hinduism. So we asked somebody to explain it, and we asked a guide, and he refused because he said that the people don't like to talk about it, because if you discuss the meaning behind the Hindu ritual, you take some of the power and mysticism away. But he did tell us to be careful to avoid stepping on them, especially while the incense is still burning.
An explanation does exist, and if you want to look into it further, be our guest. I did some reading on it, and it was really fascinating.
Are you talking about that Wikipedia page again?
Yeah, I got a lot out of it.
You're a teacher. You know Wikipedia is not a good source.
Whatever, it doesn't stop my kids. Anyway, other cultural pieces that we saw were the Nyanbin ceremonies.
Yeah, this was especially interesting to me. Our driver told us that, I can't do it as well as you, the Nyanbin ceremony.
Great attempt.
Thanks. Wow. Is the traditional Balinese Hindu funeral ceremony, and cremation releases the soul for rebirth.
But soul releasing is not cheap. So in order to save on the actual cremation ceremony, they bury the dead for a couple of years, save up, and then they exhume the body and do like group cremations.
Interesting. That's kind of sweet, actually.
It sort of is. The ceremony often features music, dance, and food. It's more of like a celebration than a funeral. It brings the community together, at least according to our driver.
We did see a lot of them just driving around Bali, and we were only there for like 2 weeks.
I'm not sure how many were cremations because of the other fires.
Yes, the trash fires.
Look, Bali has a huge trash problem. There are more people dumping waste than the island can actually handle. So the solution that they came up with was just to burn everything.
Which I feel like is a terrible solution.
Yes.
But so driving around Bali, you'll see these like giant piles of burning garbage on the side of the road. And you'll be inhaling all those toxic fumes. Like you just smell trash burning around Bali, which I'm sorry to ruin a little bit of the mystique, but it's true.
I mean, our advice is to just be mindful and, you know, try not to inhale, but it's pretty hard to avoid.
Yeah, if you smell burning, hold your breath, but good luck.
A lot of the places that we saw were being mindful of the waste. So it was common to see things like glass straws, zero waste tools. It was pretty awesome. One restaurant in Nusa Lembongan, Bali Eco Deli, is spearheading a whole recycling program. So hopefully the whole inhaling trash will be a thing of the past one day.
Yeah, hopefully. You know what you should inhale, though, is the tempeh.
Okay, first, awful transition.
Wow.
Secondly, oh God, the tempeh in Bali is next level. Always fresh, and they fry it to like the perfect crispiness. I'm just like chef's kissing right now.
He actually did do a chef's kiss. You can't see. I had to see it. But
that perfect meal comes at a price, and I don't just mean money.
That doesn't make any sense.
Because you have to spend a lot of time there.
Yes, that's true. You should like bring something to do at a restaurant because it does take a while to get your food.
I actually don't mind how long it takes. I like to know what I'm eating was given some care and attention.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of restaurants, it was kind of hard to figure out which ones would be good.
Yeah, Yelp and TripAdvisor weren't really the business, so we mostly stuck to word of mouth for restaurants.
Also, you should stick to traditional Balinese warungs because they have the best authentic local food and cheaper, and because it supports local businesses.
Most of the places that we went were winners, though.
Yeah, same with the coffee, actually.
Our favorite coffee shop was Cinnamon Coffee. I'm probably saying that wrong, but Cinnamon Coffee in Ubud. Because it ticked all of our douchey coffee boxes.
We have a lot of those boxes. I will say the Indonesian coffee comes with an asterisk.
Yeah, the coffee is incredible, but the method of preparing it, not so much.
Yeah, so to make like traditional Balinese coffee, it's a really fine grind, but they leave the grinds in the cup. So you just kind of get a mouthful of grinds at the end of your cup.
Yeah, it's like Turkish coffee adjacent, but like a full mug. So we found ourselves enjoying the first half and then the second half, not really.
Yeah, that's why we liked places like Bali Eco Deli and Cinnamon, because they used filters, which I know is like the more Western way and whatever.
But we're Western.
We're douchey. I also will say that I knew that I would love the beans there because Indonesian coffee is really, really good. But I was also very aware of Kopi Luwak coffee.
For those of you who don't know what Kopi Luwak coffee is, perhaps you know it best as its other names, civet coffee or poop coffee.
Gross.
Something to note is Kopi Luwak is not a form of coffee bean, but rather a processing style.
So let me just explain it. So here's the short version. There's an adorable animal called a civet. It's somewhere between like a mongoose and a ferret. Super freaking cute. And their favorite snack is coffee berries. So they go like forage around in the forest at night because they're nocturnal. And then while they digest the coffee berries in their stomach, they ferment and they get really acidic, which is like something that you want. It's a favorable flavor profile for coffee. So after the civet, this is where it gets kind of gross. After the civet poops the coffee berries out after they're digested, it's actually somebody's job to like go through the poop and collect the digested coffee beans, clean them, and roast them.
So you can probably see where some problems are about to arise.
Yeah, other than the fact that it's poop coffee. When it first came on the scene, it was really rare. You had to find a civet's poop somewhere in the forest. So the price was really high up because it was hard to do, right? Like, I think like a pound ran somewhere in the ballpark of like $400. And it gained this notoriety of being known as the most expensive cup of coffee. So the demand was way up.
However, with the higher demand brought the need for more supply, and animals will only eat what they need. That's when Kopi Luwak Farm started. Civets were captured and forced to eat coffee so that they can keep up with the demand.
What's weird is like the price hasn't changed. It's still like a really expensive cup of coffee.
And here's the deal. Coffee, unsurprisingly, is shit.
Like both literally and also like it's just not good. It's a shitty cup of coffee.
We were on a tour that went to a family-owned coffee farm. They had a pet civet, you know, quote unquote pet civet, who was in a cage. So they do small batch Kopi Luwak just for guests who stop by. And someone on our tour ordered it and offered us a sip.
And we were definitely those assholes that were like, oh, you shouldn't order that. But they did it anyway. And so we tried it for research so that we can now definitely tell you definitively it is not worth it. It sucks from experience.
Yeah, it just kind of tasted like a regular Folgers cup or something similar.
I know there are ethical farms still brewing up Kopi Luwak coffee that doesn't like disturb the animals, but it's hard to tell who's legit.
And honestly, it's just not worth it. Coffee enthusiasts and experts agree it's a problematic practice that yields bad results. Just get a regular cup of coffee.
Yeah, there's plenty of good coffee in Bali. Don't do Kopi Luwak.
Let's talk about where we went, what we did, and all that good stuff.
Definitely the monkey forest. We were terrified the entire time. But if you do follow the rules, like don't look anywhere near the monkeys because they will attack you if you look at them, which is terrifying. And some common sense, you'll be okay.
It was just so cool to see this ancient forest covered with these adorable, scary, wise creatures. There was like calm to it, actually.
Who are you kidding with this like calm thing? You were freaking out.
Just a bit.
I really love the dancing at the Ubud Royal Palace.
Oh yeah, they do traditional dances there almost every night.
You can watch dancing at some higher end resorts too, but I honestly think the palace was more low key and intimate.
Also cheaper.
That too. So Ubud is the cultural center of Bali and it's the home of the royal family. So the dances at the Royal Palace are one of the best ways to experience that culture.
The dances tell a story and they give you a leaflet explaining it, sort of like an opera, but I still had no idea what was going on.
Balinese music is incredibly unique. It's called gamelan and it's almost all percussion instruments. It has this like really unique sound that at first feels kind of jarring because I'm so used to string instruments.
Your music douche is really showing right now.
Wow.
We also took a cooking class with Pound Bali, where we made a full spread with a few other people.
That was really cool because we got to make everything from scratch and learn about Balinese cooking and see how intricate it can be.
We also took that day trip we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, that was amazing. We stopped at, then I'm going to butcher this, Pura Ulun Danu Bratan, which is this gorgeous temple on a giant lake in the mountains.
It was way better than the water temple in Ocarina of Time.
I'm sorry, what?
Then again, everything is better than the water temple in Ocarina of Time, you know?
Literally nobody knows what you're talking about right now.
Zelda.
Oh my God, shut up, nerd.
Anyway, after Ubud, we wanted to go off the beaten path.
Yeah, we're not big partiers, shocker. And we'd heard the party towns were on the southern coast of the island.
We're talking about Kuta, Sanur, Seminyak. We'll get to those later.
They're super pretty, and that's where the party is. So we went the exact opposite direction, northeast, to a little town called Ahmed, which is incredibly sleepy, and there's no parties at all.
It's a little coastal town known to have volcanic black rock sand beaches and great diving.
Yeah, it's supposed to have amazing diving. It's really close to the crash site for the USS Liberty, which sunk in 1967. Is there an interesting story there?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, now you can swim down and look at it and all the marine life in it, which is pretty cool.
And the shipwreck is so close to the shore that divers just sort of walk there instead of, you know, diving.
There's also a functioning underwater post office.
Yeah, so we picked up some packages. Just kidding. But you can dive down and drop off a waterproof postcard and supposedly it will actually get mailed out.
You really should have done it, but you hadn't been diving yet then.
No, I was trying to psych myself up. Initially, I didn't even know that I wanted to dive, but after being in Ahmed, I really thought about giving it a try.
Yeah, so did you go?
No, I didn't.
We didn't even go snorkeling. We did try, though. We borrowed snorkeling gear from our Airbnb host and went to the beach, but like getting into the water was really difficult because like you're wearing flippers and then you try walking, but it doesn't work. You take the flippers off and then the rocks were really sharp on the beach and they just cut my feet up and then there was nowhere to put anything and then I couldn't get the flippers on without sitting in the water and getting myself cut up.
So yeah, Leah got really cranky is what she's getting at. Yeah. So we gave up.
We gave up. We were pretty lame in Ahmed, honestly. At that point, you had a lot of work.
Yeah, I was taking a summer course and there was a lot of work there. So we just sort of holed up on the beachside coffee shops and worked.
Yeah, we watched the sunset. Ahmed is at the foot of Mount Agung, so you can kind of see it from everywhere. So we like went to the Black Rock beaches. We watched the sunset.
I mean, it was nice. There are worse ways to spend 3 days.
For sure. And then our Airbnb host drove us to Sanur so that we could make our ferry to the next destination.
Right, because everyone in Bali is also a driver, again.
It's hard for me to remember, like, a longer car ride.
You do remember driving across the United States, right?
True. Whatever. Google clocked it at 2 hours, but honestly, it took us 5.
We had this grand idea of leaving early, or sorry, I had this grand idea of leaving early and taking our time in Sanur before our ferry, you know, like check out the town, all the shops, whatever. But we ended up running to our ferry to make sure that we made it on time.
Yeah, literally running. And we were carrying all of our crap, so giant backpacks. And honestly, getting a ferry in Bali is not exactly straightforward.
I'm really good with navigation. And even I was like, I don't know what's happening.
So the tour companies are all located in this like squished kind of marketplace right next to each other. The address is like kind of on one street, but then the kiosk is like down the street. I don't know, whatever. It's really confusing. So when you get there, you pick who you want to actually go with your tour company. So we did a little bit of research in advance, which is in our blog post. I don't remember the name. You get your round trip ticket. Somebody takes your bags and that all kind of makes sense.
But then they just sort of put your bags on a bench. And you realize that like all of the other people waiting there are waiting for the same route, but different boats at different times. And then miraculously, the employees who apparently have memorized everybody's face just point to you and then point to a boat and they say, get on. It was very confusing. And I thought that we were going to get left every 3 minutes.
Yeah, you're stressing for nothing.
I feel like stressing for nothing could be the name of my biography.
For sure. So we had this knowledge going in, but we could tell that some people were surprised. So heads up, there's no dock.
Nope, no dock. And also no raft to take you from the shore.
Yeah, you have to get into the water, wade through it to get onto the boat. They're going to carry your luggage for you, so you're good. You just have to get yourself onto the boat.
You go knee deep, so it's not actually that bad, but we definitely saw some people in some tight jeans that they couldn't roll up.
Sounds super uncomfortable. Luckily for me, I wore the exact same loose tie-dyed romper every day for the whole 2 weeks that we were in Bali, so I was fine. And the water is nice and warm.
Yeah, you definitely wore that romper only for that purpose. It was strategic.
It's in all of our pictures. Like every single picture from Bali, I'm wearing the exact same romper, except for one day I wore a dress.
Wow.
One day.
That was big of you.
Yeah.
So anyway, we get on the boat and 30 minutes later, we landed in Nusa Lembongan.
Lembongan is one of the three islands or Nusas off the coast of Sanur. It's not the biggest, but it is the main tourist hub.
This time we did get boats sent to us, so we didn't have to swim to shore. But the trade-off is that it took forever to get our bags since luggage gets its own boat at the very end once everybody has offboarded.
Luggage gets its own boat? What is it, like first class? Okay, that wasn't that funny.
It wasn't, but we're going to keep it in.
Damn it.
The lesson here is don't feel the need to get off board first like we did. You're going to have to wait no matter what.
We were lucky and we had booked a hotel that was only 10 minutes walking away from the harbor. But also a shuttle is included standard for ferry tickets. So we got to ride in the back of a pickup truck.
So we stayed at Putra 7, which was this breathtaking oasis.
Yeah, it was really gorgeous. I never wanted to leave. But I'm not sure if that was because of the pool or the AC.
I mean, probably both. Honestly, I wish we spent weeks in Lembongan. I finally got the courage to dive. I booked a discovery dive at 2 Fish Divers and they let you tag along on a snorkeling trip.
They did. I just kind of floated nearby, like watching you guys from above like a giant creep. And it was great. How was it for you?
It was fantastic. We didn't see a lot that day, which is, you know, it is what it is. It's kind of a toss up when you go diving. I'm not one of the people who likes to complain about it. But that said, at the place we went, they've seen like big mola mola, also known as sunfish, and even mantis shrimp.
So who do you think would win in a fight? A mantis shrimp or that one octopus that launched a pebble at your face in Panama?
It wasn't a pebble. It was the shell of a crab. And he threw it so fast that it actually lodged into my dive instructor's hand. But all that aside, mantis shrimp, hands down. The octopus was pretty legit, though. They're also off the coast of Lembongan's neighboring islands. Didn't see one, but still.
I'm glad that you finally got the courage up to go diving. It sounds like you're having a lot of fun adventures. I'm too scared.
I did.
Then there was that day that we rented a scooter and explored the island.
And we almost got in another wreck. There were no hills or monkeys involved, though, but some of the roads were only meant for walking, so it wasn't rare to be, like, driving over the boulders.
Are we actually sure that was a road?
I'm not.
No. Yeah, we got real lost. And the next day, we took the scooter over, like, a bridge, which was honestly terrifying, and crossed into the smallest of the three islands, Nusa Senangan.
Senangan is this tiny island that is pretty much just one road in a loop, but there are some gorgeous hotels and restaurants there.
And one of our favorites was called Seabreeze.
Oh, yeah. They had hammocks and swings to sit on, plus hammocks in the ocean, which was badass.
Yeah, it was awesome. Honestly, I would recommend, like, if you're in Nusa Lembongan, rent a scooter and just spend a day exploring Nusa Senangan, or base yourself in Nusa Senangan. It's really sleepy, but if you don't mind a bit of snooze, it's pretty awesome.
And I love a snooze. One thing we didn't do was was travel to Nusa Penida.
Nusa Penida is the biggest of the three islands by far, but it has the least tourist infrastructure.
It's huge, like roughly the size of Baltimore.
That's a weirdly specific fact.
I Wikipedia'd that too.
Oh my God. Same article?
No, there's like three articles involved.
Okay. All right. Anyway, even though it's so big, there's pretty much only wilderness there.
That means two things. One, it's really gorgeous. And two, it's really tough to do.
Basically, you have to get there really early in the morning via a ferry, which you can pick up at the entrance to Nusa Senigan. And then you can rent a scooter on the island once you arrive. Or you can just book a tour to take you all on the island, and you can book that in the same place as you get the ferry. Or you can book online. It's actually not that hard to do. We're just like trash people and we woke up too late for the ferry.
Correct.
Which is why every other travel blogger in the world who goes to Bali has a picture of them at the famous T-Rex beach. It's called Kling Kling and it's on Nusa Penida. And we had to use stock images of it on our blog because we didn't go there.
Again, trash people.
Trash.
Okay, so what's the draw? Why should people visit the Nusas?
To get that one picture of the T-Rex beach, obviously.
Honestly, it has that beachy Bali vibe we were looking for when we visited. Like Ubud has the jungle tropical Bali vibe and the Nusas have that like beachy vibe.
Say vibe one more time. You are the most Californian person in existence.
Vibes.
The Nusas are really laid back. They're like this mellow place with a ton of adventures to choose from. Or you can just like sit on a gorgeous white sandy beach and like swim in some warm water. What's not to love?
Well, the flies.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Look, there's no easy way around this. Nusa Lembongan is covered in flies.
Like swarms.
So we had to eat our dinner.
Our dinner.
So we had to eat our dinner with one hand waving at our plate in order to shoo them away.
It didn't even work, but it kind of helped.
Yeah. In restaurants, servers walk around with huge leaves fanning the flies away while you eat, but they're drawn to not only the food, but the chenning sari, which spend most of the day as beautiful piles of compost.
Honestly, we feel super privileged even complaining about it. It's just something to like be aware of in advance. There's nothing you can really do about it. Just wave your hand around while you're eating.
I know. It's just kind of an annoying thing.
Yeah. And it came off as like complaining. But honestly, the island was so stunning that the flies were kind of just like a small price to pay.
More like a small lice to pay. Am I right?
No. What?
Because they're like...
You know that lice aren't flies, right?
Obviously. But like...
Oh my God, honey. No. Stop.
Whatever.
All right. So if we were going to go to Bali again...
If?
Okay. When we go to Bali again, what changes do you think that we would make?
Honestly, I would probably just stick to Ubud and the Nusas or the Gili Islands, which we hear are also amazing.
Definitely same. Like Ahmed was really nice, but it was a schlep and we didn't end up doing the main thing there, which is diving because, you know, we weren't doing it yet. And then there was that whole snorkeling crank fest. So yeah, I would for sure take day trips to see other parts of Bali, but I think I would center myself in those two places, in the Nusas and Ubud.
I will say that there are a ton of other places in Bali that aren't typical tourist hotspots. And if we returned, I'd want to check some of those out.
If you're the type of person that's looking for something like else, the biggest destinations in Bali are probably Kuta, Jimbaran, Sanur, and Semenyak. God, I suck at pronouncing things.
Jimbaran is a little surf town located towards the south end of the island. There's like, it gets really skinny on the south. It's right there.
We didn't go because every time Jeremy surfs, he almost dies.
That's facts. Sanur is a fishing town that's more family oriented on the east coast. And it has chain hotels like Fairmont or Hyatt. Not that that's a blimp, but it's just to give you an idea.
I mean, for us, it's a little bit of a red flag.
That's true. Kuta and Semenyak are probably the most popular destinations besides Ubud.
For sure. They're both really pretty, but they're also kind of known as party destinations.
Bali is to Australia what Cancun is to America in terms of party tourism.
If that tells you anything.
Yeah.
Kuta and Semenyak are neighboring towns, and the main difference is the price. So Semenyak has more luxury destinations, whereas Kuta is much more directed towards like backpackers and students. They're both absolutely gorgeous, but you kind of have to be in the mood to party.
I'm always in the mood to party.
Honey, you've been in sweatpants for the last 3 weeks and you grunt when you stand up. You're not partying.
Don't make fun of my old man noises. And I'm blaming the sweatpants on coronavirus.
Completely inaccurate, but okay.
But I am very excited to start traveling once again.
You mean like leave the house?
Yes.
Maybe go somewhere besides the grocery store?
Oh, God.
Maybe Bali will be one of the first places that we go to.
I do really want to go back. I say that about all of the places, but like Bali is for sure like... up there.
If you guys are like us and you're dreaming about going to Bali, we have a lot of Bali content at practicalwanderlust.com.
We have more travel and budget saving tips as well as like a full-blown itinerary.
It's a really giant. Like we talked about our itinerary and then we also gave some other suggested itineraries. We also have a virtual beach vacation that takes you to Bali and you also go to a couple of other places. So if you're sitting at home in your sweatpants feeling sorry for yourself with nothing to do, check it out.
Hey, we can't get out of the house, so a virtual beach vacation sounds really nice right now.
Do you want to go do that right now?
That's a great idea, especially because it's raining.
Let's go put on some sunscreen and sit in the living room. But first, we want to say that we really hope that you guys are all staying healthy and safe.
Yes, and please, y'all, we miss places as much as you do, but we need to help flatten this curve together, so please stay home.
And if you must go outside, stand at least 6 feet apart and take all the recommended precautions. But if you're in the future and you're listening to this, do you not have to do that anymore? What's it like? Tell us everything. Send us a DM.
Send us a tweet.
From the future.
Again, stay safe, stay home, and we'll see you next time.
Safely, from a distance. Bye.
Bye.